looks like a clinic on how not to do things on the baseball field.
Now, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz.
Brought to you by Big Y Grocery Store, T-Mobile, Needham Bank, Ron Bouchard's Auto Stores, Jordan's Furniture, Integrity from Marvin Windows and Doors, TestTrips.com, Acura of Auburn, Anderson McQuay, Direct Federal Credit Union, Gravely Lawnmowers, AceTicket.com, WFXT-TV, and Mohegan Sun.
Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
I don't know too much about them. They have a good team. What they did to the Indians, that was impressive. It seems like they're playing their best baseball of the season at the right time. They can pitch. They're playing good defense. They're swinging the bat well. They're a complete team. I've been talking about them the whole season. So now we go. You know, best of seven. They know me. I know them. It should be fun.
Okay, so I'll tell you what, let's turn back the clock, shall we? Let's do that. Let's turn it back to the beginning of the baseball season when I said to you that my objectives were for the Red Sox were very simple in 2018. That I knew the Red Sox were a good team, as did you. As did you. We knew they were a good team. They'd won two straight divisions. They'd made the postseason 2 years in a row. The question was whether or not they could be a great team. And now that they've beaten the New York Yankees, we ask the question again, albeit in a slightly different form. Is that enough for you? Or, in order for the Red Sox to really achieve what they're capable of achieving, do you need to see more? 617-779-0985 is the number here on the Baseball Reporters. We'll open up the phones, right away. Let me just remind you quickly, the Baseball Reporters Playoff Edition is presented by Budweiser. Boston, this Bud's for you. So thanks to our friends at Bud. Again, 617-779-0985. Have they done enough for you already, or do you need to see more? And before I even take your answer, let me just tell you that the win over the Yankees, we all celebrated it, myself included. We all celebrated it, but now as we move forward here, dare I say, we're on to Houston. We are on to Houston. And Alex Cora effectively gave the same message to his team in the clubhouse following the win over the Yankees the other night. And now Houston is just 2 days away. That American League Championship Series will open here in Boston on Saturday. So we're going to spend much of the next 2 days talking about the Astros. And again, tonight, abbreviated program will be done at 6:30. So if you want to get your calls in, you got to do it quickly again. 617-779-0985. For me, I'm glad the Red Sox beat the Yankees, but it was the bare minimum. They had to win in the first round no matter who they got. They had to win in the first round no matter who they got. And the objective for me this year was that the Red Sox needed to show that they fully belonged with the big boys. There is no bigger kid on the block than the Houston Astros. That team is loaded. They're the reigning world champions. They just destroyed the Cleveland Indians in the division series. And now the Red Sox have home field. Now they have J.D. Martinez. Now they have Alex Cora. So at a minimum, what I am expecting here is a highly competitive series. Anything short than a highly competitive series, to me, is a major disappointment and will take some of the shine off of what has heretofore been a phenomenal Red Sox season, or I should say thus far, been a phenomenal Red Sox season. Okay, thus far. But it was never about getting to this point. It was about going a little further. And if you're asking me, do I think they can win the American League Championship? Yes, I do. Do I think they're favored? No. Do I think they're a huge underdog? No. And if the Red Sox play like they're capable, they can win this series, and they will prove to all of us that they are right there at the top among the truly elite teams in Major League Baseball. So I'll tell you what, let's get right to your phone. 617-779-0985. We'll kick it off with Todd, who's in a car, wants to talk about David Price. Go ahead, Todd.
What's up, Maz? Murray, love the show, guys. To answer your question, I agree with you 100%. A good series is fine by me because they're playing a phenomenal team. But my comment is, we all agree that Price has to start a game. And you guys hit the nail on the head last show with the day off, the rest for the blah, blah, blah. I mean, you guys, phenomenal show, and you hit it right on the head. Question for you, Maz, what if they lose game one? I mean, Voldy was lights out. Are they going to take the chance just so that they can rest the bullpen? and go with Price, or do they switch it up and go with Navaldi because he was that good if they lose game one? So I love the show.
So, Todd, I'll tell you
the answer to that question.
Well, I appreciate that. And you ask an interesting question, but I'd have a hard time believing that they'll announce David Price as a game two starter and then pull the plug on him if they lose game one. I just don't think they'll do it. Now, for those who weren't listening at the end of Felger and Maz, we're talking about Price starting game two and what the variables are in there. And I think clearly that the Red Sox are waiting matchups. His performance against Houston versus his performance against the Yankees. He struggled against the Yankees pretty much all year long, especially in New York. And he struggled against the Yankees really since the time he became a member of the Red Sox. But one of the other things that we brought up during that show is if you start Price in game two and you need your bullpen, you are guaranteed a day off immediately after. So your bullpen will have a day to rest. If you were to start Price in game four and he has a bad game, well, now you got to use relievers and other pitchers in that game, and maybe those guys are compromised for game five. Okay, so I wonder if on some level that entered in. The only games in the series that are ever going to have guaranteed days off after them, are, and barring rainouts, are games two and five. And game five's a Chris Sale game. Okay, Sale's getting game five because he's pitching game one. So really, the only game in the series that you could start Price and know that you were going to be able to rest your bullpen the next day was game two. I'm not telling you that's the number one reason that Price is going game two, but I do believe on some level it was a factor, and it's not anything that Alex Cora would ever say publicly, because then you're embarrassing your pitcher and you're admitting you have very little confidence in him. Paul's also wants to talk about Dave Price. He's in his car. Go ahead, Paul.
Hi, guys. First time, long time. You mentioned all these things on why they're going to pitch from game two, and I think those are valid, but I think from a personnel standpoint, too, you're giving the guy his start, and which is his due, right? And if he does lay another egg, which he, I mean, is, could be pretty likely, he's going to be in the bullpen, and it's not even going to be for not trying, you know? He's going to be a bullpen. He can be able to go by game four. I'll let you guys talk.
Yeah, so look, but again, Paul, you could say the opposite. If you start him in game four, he's available out of the bullpen in game one, maybe even game two, depending on how you use him. If you need a big out against a lefty bat somewhere, Price would be an obvious choice. And then after game four, you could use him in game six and seven. So you could use him much more if you pitched him in the middle of the series with only one start. Look, I think there's a lot of reasons to it, but the big one is the matchup. Cora likes the matchup. And so they're going to give Price another shot. And if Price pitches well, Cora will continue to look like the genius that he currently looks like. Bill's in Boston on game two. Go ahead, Bill.
Hey, yeah, about David Price. Well, first of all, I want a competitive series, and I'm not satisfied with beating the Yankees. But as far as David Price, I think game two is the perfect game because they want game one. But game two, I think, is kind of a throwaway game. They can split with Houston and go back to Houston. And if they win both games in Boston, then it's a plus. What do you think about that?
Okay, so Bill, look, there's a lot of ways to look at it. I just don't think you can make a guy a game two starter assuming a result in game one, or you know, trying to predict what's going to happen. The bottom line is that you pitch your best pitchers in order. Okay, you pitch your best guy first. You try to get out in front in the series. You pitch your next guy second. Okay, that's what you do, so that you can use those pitchers as often as possible, depending on how long the series goes. And so you want those guys in there as much as you can. That's really the logic. Now, with Price, in this case, if he had bad matchup numbers against Houston, would the Red Sox have shuffled the rotation in a different way? Yes. Based on how they've handled things thus far, I don't think there's any question they would have gone with a different order.
And there's no way you can treat it as like a throwaway game just because Price is starting and, hey, we're going to try some new things, because you then get three straight in Houston, which is obviously going to favor them in terms of the scheduling. So you just can't treat game two as like, bah, let's see what happens.
No, Murray, you're dead on. It's the postseason. There are no throwaway games.
Right.
You don't throw away games in the postseason. It's not like a Sunday game during the regular season where you put the B squad out there so because you get an off day Monday and you can rest all your regulars. There are no throwaway games in the playoffs. None. Mike and Hudson on what we were talking about at the beginning of the program about winning the division series. Is it enough to appease you as a fan, Mike?
Hey, yeah, Tony, making the playoffs is good enough as it is. The variance of the playoffs is so high that these are all coin flips. You can't judge a team based on, like, one thing in one game deciding. Like, if you make the playoffs...
Mike, I'm gonna stop you here for 1 second. Do you honestly believe that had the Red Sox lost the series to the Yankees, you think people would have deemed this year a success?
Doesn't matter, though, because, like, using logic and not emotion, you...
just forget logic. Forget logic. I'm sorry?
You can't forget logic, though, because just because they played the Yankees, you can't get emotional and say, oh, they have to beat the Yankees. It doesn't matter who they play. These are coin flips. You played a 100-win team.
Okay, so I'm not telling you that it was the Yankees. I'm telling you they had to win the division series. They see a guy like that, Murray, is a little too logical and practical for his own good.
Yeah.
Sports are about emotion, and competition is often about emotion and being able to go to levels that you haven't gone to before. So if you want to look at it as just a math equation, well, then fine. We can add up the numbers, and we don't even have to play the games. You can do it that way if you want. I like to think that when you actually put two teams out there with a lot of talent, and they're pretty close, that ultimately there is something that will drive another team to success. And we can call it a coin flip. You can call it whatever you want. I'm just telling you that the Red Sox had their asses kicked in the playoffs in the first round 2 years in a row. And they didn't look like a team that could compete with the best teams in baseball. Now it looks like they can. And so, again, I'm not saying they have to win this series. That's not what I'm telling you. But against Cleveland 2 years ago, the Indians were all banged up and the Red Sox got smoked. Then against Houston, they got their asses kicked. They lost the first two games both by a score of 8-2. Now, if you think the Astros are better than the Red Sox, fine. This year, I do too. Not by a lot, and it doesn't mean Houston will win the series. But don't tell me that you think the Astros are 8-2 better. If Houston wins the first two games this year by an 8-2 score, you're telling me that's acceptable? 3-2, 4-3, 5-4, I can live with that, depending on how it goes at the end. But I'm sorry, I can't just subscribe to these things are a coin flip based on logic. If that's the case, why do we watch? No, we watch to see these guys compete and to go to a level that we think that they can get to, but they need to be pushed to get to. That's the beauty of it. You don't know what anybody can achieve until they get pushed. So now let's see if the Red Sox can push the Astros. I know the Astros can push the Red Sox. But I want to know if the Red Sox can get the attention of Houston and push the Astros. And I just don't get the. You want to be logical about everything. It's you can be logical in life. In sports, it doesn't work that way.
Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz, 98.5 The Sports Hub. The show the Red Sox Nation turns to first. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Here's a long drive to deep left field, and the Astros are on the board first.
So you know what that was from? If in case you couldn't tell, it was the home run by Alex Bregman in the first inning last year against Chris Sale in Game 1. Astros got two runs in the first inning of Game 1, two runs in the first inning of Game 2, and a home run against Drew Pomeranz, and they rolled. Ended up going on to the World Championship. Both the LCS and the World Series went 7 games, but the Astros nonetheless won it. And now the Red Sox get to measure up with the big boys. We'll see how they do in this ALCS, which starts Saturday here at Fenway Park. Dante is in Linfield. Dante, go ahead.
Hey, Tony. Maybe a dissenting opinion, but I really feel like the fate of this series rests on Mookie Betts' shoulder. I feel like if you really want to stake your flag as maybe the best player of this game, you know, this is your stage. The lights are on. Because when I look at the next generation, you know, Judge, Bregman, Springer, and even Benintendi, even though he kind of disappointed me this year, they walk around like they want to rip your face off. I don't see that from Mookie. And, you know, we've seen a couple times around in the playoffs now, and he hasn't been that transcendental player.
So, look, Dante, I agree with you. Maybe we're not making enough of this. Let's see how the weekend goes, because we could be talking a lot about Mookie on Monday. Mookie Betts batted 188 in the American League Championship. He still doesn't have a career postseason home run. It's been 3 years now. They've been in 3 years in a row. Now, look, that's not a ton of games. It's 11, right? 3-4-4. But Mookie's got to produce. I would never put an entire series on the shoulder of one positional player. But what's Mookie Betts going to be? Is he going to be A-Rod? Is that what it's going to be? Is he going to be a guy who plays great during the regular season and doesn't beat you in October? Because that changes the whole perception of him. You're right about that. Allen's in Danvers. Go ahead, Allen.
Hey, what's going on, Mess?
What's on your mind?
I just want to know, because we all know Verlander's playoff success. I mean, it's been phenomenal. So what do we expect from the bats in game one?
So look, Allen, Houston had the best staff in the American League this year, and it wasn't even close. And I looked this up earlier today. The team ERA was 3.11, and the second-place team was 3.74. That's a huge gap. Huge. So if you now look, you never know what's going to happen in any of these games, but I don't think you're going to get, you know, 10-7 games with the Houston Astros. The Cleveland Indians, I think, batted 144 in the three-game series, and they scored 6 runs. Okay, so you're going to have to grind. Now, the good news is you're not built like the Yankees, so with some balls to the gap, some good, aggressive, creative base running, you should be able to score some runs because the Red Sox are not solely dependent on the home run ball. I mean, there are multiple ways, obviously, for them to score. I think it's Lice in the car or Lais. Go ahead.
It's Lais. But anyways, look, okay. My point is pretty basic. Prior to the playoffs, I would have been happy with just winning the first round. But now that I think about, you know, the window we have, I feel like we got to win now. You know, how can we keep all these people, all these players here with this payroll?
So, Lais, look, this is a good point. And the Red Sox built this team with a small championship window. So any crack they get at winning a championship, they really need to maximize it. Now, look, I on the one hand, I cannot sit here and tell you that I think the Houston Astros are a better team on paper than the Red Sox are, and then say the Red Sox have to win the series. So what I want to see is, can they compete at the highest level, you know, with a team like this? Can they go nose-to-nose with Houston and push it to 6 or 7? And look, I'm not discounting them winning the series, because I don't think the gap between these teams is great. In fact, if you took Ryan Pressly out of the Astros bullpen and put him on Boston's, and that was a trade deadline acquisition, if you did that, to me, I'd probably pick the Red Sox to win the series. But the Red Sox don't have that. Houston has an edge in starting pitching. Houston has an edge in the bullpen. So it's going to be a challenge. They can win the series, though. More important than anything, though, they have to show that they belong. I'm not even sure I mentioned earlier, but we have been broadcasting from our Star Market broadcast studio here at the TD Garden, where the Bruins and Edmonton Oilers will be playing here momentarily. We have a Dunkin' Donuts Bruins pregame coming up next. Judd Sirott, Bob Beers, he'll take it right up until face-off. Bruins and Oilers, and we'll see if the Bruins can shut down Connor McDavid and the Oilers. Also, just a reminder, the Baseball Reporters Playoff Edition is presented by Budweiser Boston. This Bud's for you. Sirott and Beers are next. Everybody enjoy the game.
The Baseball Reporters on 88.5, the Sports Hub.